How's everybody doing?
Good.
Praise God. You're looking good. My gosh. Okay, very good. So, of course, Lord told me to go to Hebrews 10 this morning. Please heed this word. God's really penetrating hearts today. A lot of movement, and I'm sure from yesterday too, but today's that day. And he wants us to start with verse 19, Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, how many people believe in a effectual fear and prayer avails much? We believe that. Okay, good. Today is your day. Okay, God wanted to test us all in that. First of all, Pastor Matthew Worrell, come up front. Kathy, come right. Please. Yeah. I didn't want to argue with the Lord on this one. And everybody else that can come up, please do. And if you can't, please stretch a hand. Okay? And before we start, I want to say, people online, today is your day also. And he's your pastor today. I don't care what part of the country you're in or what nation. This is going to be a global experiment.
Oh, boy.
And God, we covered it in prayer, but God says we're going to saturate these people in prayer. Jim, if you would start out and then Rob to follow. Okay, and then now we worship King of Kings. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence in this place. And Lord Jesus, we cry out to you, we need you. All we want, all we need is you. So Lord, speak to us. We are your children. We are the sheep of your pasture. And we need to hear from the great shepherd of all. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read the first 14 verses of Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the spirit of the works by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies a Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who were of faith were blessed by believing Abraham. Now as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles to Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Father, bless your word to us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God is good. Mr. Elder Tom Davenport caught us, Kathy and I, by total surprise this morning. We did not expect that whatsoever. And I want you to know how blessed Kathy and I are to serve you and how blessed we were to have you gather around us and pray for us. But if you think that's going to soften the message this morning, you got another thing coming.
We wouldn't want it.
Paul, when he wrote this letter, he wrote it to the Galatian church, the church at large in Galatia, because they were being wooed away from the grace of the gospel back into legalism. They were struggling with what even the Jerusalem council taught against. There was this question that was brought to the Jerusalem council. Must a Gentile become a Jew in order to be saved? Does a Gentile man have to be circumcised in order to fall into the grace of God and receive Christ as Lord? Because that was the mindset. The mindset was that Jesus, being a Jew, came for the Jews. And so in order for you to be saved, you have to become a proselyte in order to be saved. And this is something that permeates even today. Maybe not necessarily become a Jew to be a Christian, but you have to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and you have to do that, and you have to be that, and you have to pay attention to this. And if you don't, are you really a Christian? What would your answer be to that, David?
Would I be a Christian?
Yeah, if you had to do all these things to be a Christian.
Depends on where I was at. There was a church that told me that I had to do this, that, this, and the other, and that it wasn't by God's grace. I wouldn't stay in that church.
You wouldn't?
I would not.
I'm coming closer so the microphone can pick you up. Okay. Everybody else here can hear you, but online they can't. All right, say that again.
If the law was pushed on me after I'd received Christ, especially, I mean, the law can still be used today to convict those that are not Christians. But once you become a Christian, you're now under grace. You're no longer under the law. It's cursed. So, if we tend to push that on one another in the church, we got issues. We got issues. It's by grace through faith alone that we are saved.
So you really believe that?
I believe that with my whole heart.
With your whole heart?
I do.
And if I was to preach something other than that, you would stand up and rebuke me, wouldn't you?
Well, I would do it privately. As I have. Amen.
Everybody now is saying, David, everybody now is here and saying, what was the problem between those two? I will say this about David Webb. I trust him. I trust him in his desire for the purity of the word. We do have discussions. We have had private discussions in my office and in his home, because he's come to me and there's times I've gone to him. And you know, David, please forgive me for using you as an example. But see, this
you're
is something.
I'm going to nail my ear to the wood again.
I forgot my hammer.
I've got one.
Yeah. Well, my wife wants you to
stand up. Stand up. Come over here. All right. Now turn around. Now look. Put your arm around me. Put my arm around you. Here, this is, I want you to see this as a picture of grace. All right? Because this man and this man don't always agree. I really fully believe that David has every right to be wrong.
Amen. My wife would attest to that too.
We have had our discussions, and we have come to a mutual understanding that we see through a glass darkly.
We do.
We don't have perfect, David does not have perfect theology. He's a Berean. He loves the Word of God. He loves the truth of the Word. He loves the purity of the Word. But his theology is not perfect, nor is mine. And this is where grace comes in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Where we can give each other that grace, and we can give each other that love, and we can give each other that space to grow in God's grace and in His mercy and in His forgiveness. And that we can still walk hand in hand, arm in arm, in love.
Amen.
You know? So this is what Paul is. Thank you, David.
I love you, Pastor. We'll have some discussions later.
I'm sure we will. Paul started this section of this letter out. Oh, foolish Galatians, why? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? But just before that, in verse 20, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul maps out what it takes to be a man of faith and not a man of works, not a man of the law. He said, I have been crucified in Christ, or with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, you want to have a walk of faith? Then allow yourself to be crucified with him. Right. Because if you're not allowing yourself to be having a walk of being crucified with Christ, what does that mean? When Jesus was crucified, what did he do? He gave his life for you.
That's right.
Are you willing to give your life for him?
Yes.
I have been crucified with Christ. Which means I identify with the crucifixion of Jesus. I identify with the fact that it was a crucified Christ that brings me salvation, not by the law, lest any man should boast. I am by grace I am saved, he said to the Ephesian church. By grace I am saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he goes on to say, he says, this is what I demonstrate to you. This is what I want to show you. I have been crucified with Christ. Have you? Have you truly been crucified with Christ? Or do you allow your own fleshly desires and fleshly wants get in the way with your walk with God? Because when I'm crucified with Christ, my fleshly wants, my fleshly desires don't count. Now, I'm not saying that I don't mind affection from my wife. I love hugging my wife. Oh, I think that's one of the greatest things in the world is to hug Kathy. You know, sometimes we'll just stand in the kitchen, the most unromantic place in the house, and just stand there and hug each other. And I just get, I can almost melt, you know? And God is not saying that I set that aside for him. But when I am willing to set all aside to him, that makes that much more rich. Are you hearing me? So he goes on, he says, oh, foolish Galatians, Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Who's bewitched you? He uses this word, bewitched, is the connotations of witchcraft. The word that is used there is baskeno, and it means to charm. It means to entice. And it also means to cast a spell over. Those are three different things that word means. It means to charm you, or to entice you, or to cast a spell over you. Who has bewitched you? Who is enticing you? What's enticing you to draw you away from the crucified Christ? What is it that is tantalizing your fleshly desires? What are you allowing that to come into? You know, I love to cook. I love to eat too. But like, you know, one of my favorite dishes that you all have, or many of you have tried, some of my chuck wagon beans. You know? Oh, they're good. They're real good. In fact, I can't eat them anymore because of the amount of brown sugar that's put in there, and sugar and me don't get along too good. I still, yeah, too well. Thank you, Kathy, my English teacher. She's back there. No, it's not too good. And so to make it better, I'll taste it, and I'll season it some more. And I'll taste it. No, it needs a little bit more of that. You guys that cook, you do that, right? As you're cooking, that's the way you do it. You know, what is your recipe? Well, it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And after I taste it, well, I need a little bit more of this and a little bit more of that. And before you know it, it's all different. It's titillating. It's enticing. And the scripture here, bewitched, is asking the question, Paul's asking the question, who is enticing you? Or what is enticing you away from the crucified Christ? Because the Galatian church, if you remember back in the verse chapter, verse 6 of chapter 1 of Galatians, Paul said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Listen to me. There's only one gospel. Amen. There is not another gospel. Whenever you get into another gospel, you're getting into a perverted message. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that he was crucified for you. That you are now forgiven. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are forgiven of everything. Hallelujah. Can you say thank you, Jesus, for that? Get up and give a little bit of a dance for it or something. But this is exciting. This is the message of the gospel. And Paul is asking you, what's enticing you away from that? What is trying to bring you back into works versus grace? Because that's all it really is. Works versus grace. You can be saved by grace, and you also have to do this. Also need to do that. Oh, you don't like the flavor of this that much. You want a little bit more spice in there. No, listen, you don't need any more spice than the blood of Jesus.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah. Who has bewitched you? What are you doing? What are you entertaining? What are you listening to? Now, listen, now there is all kinds of stuff out there on YouTube. I run a school here, Spirit Life Ministry School. And the last course that I taught was homiletics, the art of preaching. And I had each week, I had selected off of YouTube pastors that would preach, and I had my students analyze that preaching, that teaching, that message. They had to look at it, how was it organized? And I threw people in like R.W. Shambach has absolutely no organization whatsoever. And they had to figure that out. What was the content? You know, how did it affect you? I asked these questions, and they had to write a report on every one of them. But when I developed that course, I was very careful on who I selected for them to watch. Because I'm not just teaching a course, but I'm allowing somebody to speak into their life. And listen to me, please. There's a lot of tantalizing, titillating stuff on YouTube that sounds spiritual. And what it is it's tearing the body of Christ apart. It's tearing people's faith apart. Making them, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing it right. I've got this. I've got that problem. I can't get delivered from this. I can't deliver from that. When the Bible tells me that Jesus said, I have come to set you free, and he who is set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Are you set free this morning? I'm set free by the blood of the Lamb. I'm set free by the work of the cross. Hallelujah for that. I have been crucified with Christ. But who's bewitched you? He said, who should, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul is just simply saying, let's lay this out. Let's be in a court of law where I'm prosecutor and the defense attorney. Prosecutor is Satan. The defense attorney is Jesus. The prosecutor is saying to the accused, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you have to do this, you have to do that in order for you to be saved. And you're not. You're not doing these things. Therefore, you're wrong. You have no hope. I still have you in bondage. I still have you wrapped up in the legal realm of even this holy book. And then you have the defense attorney. And he stands up, and all he has to do is show you his hole in his wrists and his side and the scars and the cuts on his forehead where the blood dripped out. And he will point to me, the accused, so you receive me. You receive eternal life. You reject me, you rejected the life that I've paid. And if you reject me, you belong to him. You belong to the prosecutor. He can have you, and the judge will award the prosecutor who won the case. You want to win the case on my behalf, Jesus says, you receive me as Lord and Savior. You see, this is the difference between the law and grace. The law says you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. But Jesus said, I did not come to do away with the law. Please understand this. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it because you can't. You can't. So I fulfilled it for you. The Word of God says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Do you want to hang on a tree? Or you want me to for you? I'm willing to do it for you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who has found refuge in him. Are you so foolish, verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There it is again. Do you do it by the works of the law? The prosecutor, or the hearing of faith, the defense attorney. Hallelujah. I think I want to listen to the defense attorney. One of the times that I faced a judge, I happened to get, this was God. I happened to get a court-appointed attorney that was a born-again Christian. And I was not walking with the Lord at the time. But I'll tell you, God was drawing me close. And he came and he asked me, he said, Matthew, be honest to me, with me. Are you guilty? And I said, guilty of sin. I'm guilty. Yes, I am. I mean, I was caught red-handed. The police officer pulled the pills out of my pocket, pulled the syringe out of my pocket in the police station. I mean, I was cold, hard, guilty. He said, okay, because if you said you were not guilty and you are guilty, I would not represent you, because I will only represent the truth. Since you said that you are guilty, I will do my best to get you the best deal I can get you. I was facing 30 years. I was facing 30 years on that bid. I was 21 years old.
Well, you'd be out by now.
You had to say that, didn't you?
I'm just adding, no, I'm like math.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Your analytical mind. He said, I will get the best deal I can for you. And he did. I went from 30 years to 2 to 5. But when I stood before the judge, he threw the plea bargain out and sentenced me to a straight 2 years hard labor chain gang. They still had them in Florida back then. It was 1974. They still had chain gangs. But then what he did was he extended grace and he let me go. He let me go. I'm standing there going, he said, I'm going to defer the sentence. And I was like, sir, I understand parole. And he looks at my sheet. He says, yeah, I see that. I said, I understand probation. He looks at my sheet. Yeah, I see that. But I don't understand deferred. He said, son, what I'm doing is going against my better judgment. What I want to do is hit you with a full 30 years. I'm giving you the last break you'll ever get. I says, you mean I have to, do I have to stay in Florida? The state lines of Florida. I said, no. I said, do I have to report to a parole officer? No. You're telling me that I free to walk out of this courtroom as guilty as I am? I didn't say that, but I walk out of this courtroom and go home? He says, yes, son. That's exactly what I'm saying. I said, oh, sir, I'm catching the first plane out of Tampa tonight. And he looked at me, he says, I was hoping you'd say that, and I'd get out of my courtroom before I change my mind. I share that story as a picture of God's grace. That man was the judge, and he sat on the judgment seat of my entire life. The decision that he makes was going to affect me for the rest of my life. And what he chose was to extend this kid grace. And he did say, don't you, I'm giving you 2 years. If for the next 2 years you get busted for anything in the state of Florida, you're going down for 2 years hard labor chain gang. You understand me, boy? I go, yes, sir. I won't step foot in this state for at least 2 years. Guess where God sent me to Bible school? Florida. About 30 miles from there. Yeah. God's got a sense of humor. There's a whole lot more to the story that I'm not gonna share right now. But I shared that simply to say this. Paul was so frustrated with the church in Galatia. He said, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit," verse 3, "are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You who have just begun in the Spirit," you know what he's saying? He says, "You have now charted a brand new course for your life. A course that is leading you to Jesus. A course that's leading you to holiness. A course that is leading you to a purpose in your life you've never had before. You're charting a course. God has charted a course for you. He said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He said in his word, "I love you with an everlasting love. Follow me." Right. That's what he said to every one of his disciples. Follow me. But then what he did, when he said, "You follow me," then he turned around and he walked away. And it was up to them. They were either going to follow or they were not going to. And now he's saying to the Galatian church, he's saying to them in verse 3, he says, "Are you so foolish? You have charted this course and you were headed towards Jesus and you were headed towards a life of purpose. You were headed for all that Jesus had for you and you're turning away from it? What is the matter with you?" That's my inflection when I read the scriptures. What's the matter for you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? And then verse 5, "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith?" This God that comes into your life, comes into your home, comes into your marriage, comes into your family, comes into your church, comes into your workplace. This God, therefore, he supplies the Spirit to you and he works miracles among you. Does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you experience any of that by the works of the law? Or did you start really experiencing the grace of God and the beauty of God and the power of God and the magnificence of God by the works of faith? Which one actually demonstrated to you the real and one and only God? The law is important because it is a tutor. It teaches us what sin is. So we pay attention to the law. But Jesus said, "You can't keep it. I know you can't keep it. Not a one of you has ever kept it. I'm the only one that ever has. And you know why I can? I wrote it. And now I'm going to fulfill it for you. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, hallelujah, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by his grace. I live by his mercy. I live by his law, his love, excuse me. I live it because his presence is now in my life, doing monstrous miracles." We have a miracle working God.
Yes, we do.
We had 45 men in this place yesterday for the day. And we watched God move. And God was just setting things up as we progressed through the day to bring us to the place of ministry time about 1:30, 2 o'clock. And then he said, "Okay, it's all set." And he fell. And men were sitting here weeping and crying out to God and confessing sin and asking for deliverance and praying for their sons and their daughters and their wives. And what I thought was going to, when I did the schedule, I figured it was, you know, half an hour or so. We went over an hour of just going from person to person to person to person to person as we prayed for each other and laid hands on each other and trusted God. And I tell you, that you don't get that from following the law. You get that from following the grace of God. Hallelujah. Praise God for His grace and His mercy, because He could have held us to the standard of the law. And He chose not to hold us to the standard of the law, because if He did hold us to the standard of law of the law, heaven would be empty. And He created heaven to be that eternal home for each and every one of us. And the only way we can get there is through the grace of God, by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord. That's why God said through the Apostle John, you receive me, you receive eternal life. You reject me, you reject that life. God sends absolutely nobody to hell. We send ourselves, and we can do it on a fast track. Hallelujah. I'm just going to jump to verse 13 and I'll close. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Jesus, being God in the flesh, chose to take the curse of sin upon Himself. He lifted it from you. God the Father lifted it from you and placed it upon His dearest love, His Son. And when He did that, and now all the sin of this world laid upon the shoulders of Jesus when He was on the cross, at that point God then released. This is the curse. The curse was not hanging on the cross. The curse was not the beating that He entailed. The curse was not all that. The curse was this. He now is separated from His Father. See, that's what hell really is. It's a total eternal separation from the Creator of the universe. And there is no way to Him. And He released all the sin on Jesus. And then He backed off because He could have nothing to do with His Son, because His Son was all crudded up with sin. Not one sin did He do Himself, but all the sins of the world was laid upon Him. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Yes! Thank you, Jesus. Can you say that? Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to, we can bring the kids in. If somebody wants to go, let Trent know, because they need to see the water baptisms. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that You became a curse on the tree, that You took the curse off of us. And all we have to do to enter into that gift of salvation is to receive You as Lord and Savior and turn You over to being Lord of our lives. So I'm going to pray a prayer. If you'd like to pray along with me, feel free to. Lord Jesus, I need You. I desperately need You. I cannot save myself. I need You. I confess myself as a sinner. I need You. I cannot save myself. I receive You now as my Lord, as my Savior. I ask You, Lord, to write my name in that Lamb's Book of Life. I've received You as my Savior, as my Lord. Receive me as Your child. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. I am now born again. My name is now written in Your book, and I belong to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, that means you're saved. You have now begun. This is what Paul had said to the Galatian church. He said, he said, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? See, this is what begun in the Spirit means. See, you have now eternity, you know, as part of your future. But you've just begun. What you did, you're standing here, you've been facing the world. And now that you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, you've done this to the world, and now you're facing the cross. But now you have a walk towards it. If you're not walking towards it, then you're just going to be dead in the water. And if you don't walk towards it and continue to purpose to walk towards the cross, towards Jesus, then what you're going to do is you're going to start slowly turning around and walking another way. That's what Paul said here. He said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You're charting a different course. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you be willing to raise your hand? Anybody? I'm not seeing anybody. Where? Okay. If you raise that in your hand for the first time, then we want to make sure you leave here with the Bible. So make sure you see me or Jim or Tom. Where'd Tom go? Oh, okay, there's Tom. He just walked through the door. Yeah, what'd you just walk into? I told you I'd get even. All right? See him, see them, or me, and we will give you a brand new Bible. We welcome North Hillsdale Community Church. Pastor Michael, come on up.